It's a, what shall I say, a beautiful day, not just for all of us, but for the earth. The mother has used the term eternal birth for Sri Aurobindo's birthday, a birth which occurs from age to age, yuge yuge, from time to time, and its repercussions, he has said, are felt all over the earth. Sri Aurobindo did not come for just a select group of people in Pondicherry, Ashram, Auroville, but for the whole earth and mankind. The difference is that when we are conscious of it, we take the delight of it. So I often take this example of all of us being in the mother's supramental boat. She describes on her experience of 3rd February. Some of us look behind, we are in the same boat and the boat is moving forward. But some of us are on the rear side of the boat and looking behind to what is being left. And when we see what is being left, we are always unhappy. But some of us are standing on the front keel of the boat and looking in the front toward the future. And when we look at the future, we are full of excitement and joy. So equally we see in Sri Aurobindo's yoga, in fact in earth life today, we are witnessing these two kinds of things. One is those who look behind and they are seeing all that is being destroyed. It's called in our scriptures as Kali Vrajanam. In Kali, all that is not only bad, but all that is good is washed away. A clean ground is being made. And it's necessary because we hold on to our good as much more than to our bad. And the good also of one age becomes a block when we have to go to a greater good. Just as human love is a step above the animal love. Not that animals are bad, they are wonderful. But animal love is limited in its expression. Human beings can express, they can write poems, they can, you know, in its heights it can touch something deep, as we see in Shelley's poem, I cannot give you what men call love. It touches what deep psychic heights. So human love can touch that greatness. And yet if we have to go to divine love, we have to leave even this behind because there is something much greater of which the mother and Sri Aurobindo give us a glimpse through their life, through their teachings, through the yoga they have given. We too can taste something of that nectar. And therefore, remembrance of Sri Aurobindo. Because when we remember them, it's not just a kind of tokenism, nor it's a slogan, remember Sri Aurobindo. It's to remember what he stands for. And I think the best way that the mother speaks about Sri Aurobindo, what he stands for is, Sri Aurobindo is the future moving towards its own realization. He is the luminous future. And when he illumines the past, we have Sri Aurobindo's various writings on the past. Past in the sense that all that has happened in the past, including some of the great works of the past, the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Gita. So when I say that, it's about the essence that it embodies, which is everlasting, but the way it is presented. He sheds light on them from a future. He has seen a future which was perhaps imperfectly glimpsed, and he has gone into the future and seen what they have glimpsed. It's like somebody who is inside the window, inside a room, is opening a window, opening a door and seeing something. And he's happy. Maybe he comes out and sees a strip of sky. And quite another when somebody enters the sky, is one with the sun and casts the gaze down and says, this is what you are looking at. So Sri Aurobindo is the future advancing towards its own realization. And I would say he is incarnate hope. Honestly, at a very personal level, and I know many, many, many youngsters and people all kinds. But for Sri Aurobindo, there would be actually no hope. Of course, we'll say we have so many paths, we have so many mukti and all that, but is that really hope? To run away from a difficulty, is that hope? Because ultimately we all want perfection here, but we are told it can never be, or we were told it can never be. We were told that earth will always remain what it is, and therefore the only way out is either to escape into nirvana, into silence, unweave the stars and into the silence pass, as Savitri says, or else to pactize with this life. This will be forever the way it is. Make the most of what we yet may spend until we too into the dust descend. So, hardly any choice. It breeds cynicism. It breeds a kind of pessimistic idea about life, creation. But Sri Aurobindo brings hope. And what is the hope? He says, he gives us a new conception of life itself. We know of life fallen upon earth, struggling with its desires. Life that seeks delight but is satisfied with doles of pleasure and as its consequence pain, the old way of nature, buy one pleasure and get two or pains free. If more you evolve, then three pains, it multiplies. If you grow further, then buy one joy and get five pains free. It keeps on increasing. Because ultimately it is trying to push you out of the comfort zone. But for the first time, we understand that all our human hopes and strivings and seekings were not an absurdity. So there have been people who have waited with this aspiration for millenniums. That's why the mother at one point says, there are souls that have waited for this moment. Because they did not give up the aspiration for terrestrial perfection. Though they were told. But they believed the deep intuition in the heart. No. Things can get better. And they tried in various ways. Even the material scientists trying to make this life better. In so many ways they have tried to make earth progress. Till we reach this grand culmination. Culmination of all our spiritual strivings which seek to free us from the thick chains, dense chains of ignorance, and the strivings of science which seek to free us from all our various kinds of bondages, all kinds of diseases, this and that. In their own way they have tried. Now Sri Aurobindo is the grand culmination who combines in himself both these quests of mankind, quest towards perfection. But either of them alone cannot fulfill it. So he takes both to the third level, that level from where matter is born, that level from where the whole manifestation of creation begins, and that is the supermind. So to remember Sri Aurobindo is to remember that not just a great event which took place way back in the past. That's not how we should remember. I mean, nothing wrong. We do remember. But to remember the future that is yet to be born. How do we remember the future? We remember it because something within us has always wanted it. That's why they say that there are different kinds of remembrance. One is a mental remembrance. We all know that. That's the commonest one. And the mother says to think of someone is to be near that person. When I had read it, I said, this is so nice. So wonderful, but so dangerous also, because depending on who you remember. But to think of someone is to be close, but at one level in the mind. But there is a remembrance of the heart, which doesn't take mental clothings. And that, I suppose, is what makes us fall in love with Sri Aurobindo. Many of us, I don't know here if anyone had the physical darshan of Sri Aurobindo. Inner darshan, yes, but physical, perhaps no one now, very hardly anybody may be left. But what makes us fall in love with Sri Aurobindo and the mother? So people often ask, what is the miracle that happens in Pondicherry? Everybody wants to have miracles. I say, I don't know, we fall in love with someone whom we have never seen. We have never heard his voice also. And his writings are very difficult. So what makes you fall in love? I said, well, that's what is the miracle. Because normally you meet somebody, you are impressed by face, speech, something. So you just fall in love. This is the memory of the heart. An inner heart, not the outer heart. Outer heart is moved by all kinds of appearances. Of course, even in appearance, Sri Aurobindo is majestic. Every time you have his picture, I remember those translation of Kalidas, Raghuvansham, where Sri Aurobindo describes Himalayas. He is from Kalidas, but he translates that he is sitting like a king with his two hands dipping in the oceans, measuring the ocean, like Ajan Bahu of Lord Ram. Ajan Bhujchar Chap Dhari Sangram Ajit Khardusham. So one feels like that he is sitting so majestically with his silence. I mean the impression that I am sure many of us share, I am simply voicing it, expressing it, that in the presence of Sri Aurobindo, just put a picture of his and you get that feeling of ultimate security. Nothing can enter, nothing can touch. And he doesn't have to do anything. He is present. There's a very interesting vision once, not just a vision, but a vision experience with Chotan Ranaranji. Some of us may know him. He recounted to me, he was sharing. He said, once I had an experience where there are people on a kind of river beach. On the other side, there is something, but they can't see. And on this side, they are all playing. And suddenly, they hear a voice thundering, Jarasandhaya, Jarasandhaya. Now, Jarasandha is a character in Mahabharata. A very interesting character, but we'll not go into his story. But what he represents, so Jarasandhaya. And everybody starts running, filled with fear. So he says, I also start running, suddenly. Jarasandhaya used to massacre, he wanted to form a kingdom. And he used to do this human sacrifice to build up his empire. So everybody is running. We don't know whom he'll catch. And suddenly, for him, the mist on the river, it vanishes. And he sees on the other side, Sri Aurobindo and the mother sitting there. And then he remembers, oh, Sri Aurobindo is here. He stays still. And Sri Aurobindo just with a gesture calls him. And all that vanishes in a moment. His supreme security. Mother speaks of herself. She says, what is supreme security? She said, all that she needed to do was to go and tell him, Lord, here it is. That's the kind of power that Sri Aurobindo wields. And clothed in apparent immobility and silence, he would not speak. He doesn't need to speak. So many stories where one of them, the mother recounts, somebody goes and is complaining of some pain, severe pain in the stomach. And suddenly she sees, he's saying, oh, it's hurting, and there's a black spot. And he sees his subtle hand. Sri Aurobindo is sitting still and that hand plucks out that black thing and throws it away. And he suddenly says, my pain is gone. Then another person, something dancing in the head. And this is something which many of us experience. A swirl in the head for whatever reason. Life is bad, it's cruel. Always, everybody has those moments when life is bad and cruel. Thanks for those moments because, oh misfortune, blessed art thou, for thou hast shown me the face of my beloved, says Sri Aurobindo. And during those bad moments, you go to the samadhi, you put your head there, you look at Sri Aurobindo's photograph, or just remember his presence. That swirl vanishes as if it never was. This is Sri Aurobindo's mighty, majestic. Armed with the omnipotent flame, sitting in one room, he is conducting. Not only India's freedom movement, people have this misconception that he went away in 1910. In 1932, Niruddha asked him, sir, I hope you are doing something about India's freedom also. People there are lamenting that he has gone away. I hope you are doing something. Shobindo's reply, all that is already settled. I am concerned with what India will do with her freedom. Bolshevism, Gundaraj, things look ominous. 1932, when we had great people, I don't want to name. He could see behind all the ambitions lurking behind all this janda. And he knew what will happen when suddenly all these people get the throne. So he could see all that is going to come. And at one point, mother says, I think it was Pradyodha, he asked mother, mother, what will happen to India? Mother says, don't you worry. Shobindo has taken the reins of India in his hands. Now we can little bit feel it. All around things are burning. In India, something is there which is saving it. Certainly not any of the politicians or the Indians. I mean, few people are good, no doubt. But something else which we can't imagine. All around is fire. And something is stamping out. He doesn't need to be open in the public to do these things. He has reached that state where he acts. When he describes the supermind, that's how he describes. There is a fire at the apex of the world. It acts without hands or feet. With a silent will, he moves the events within us and around us. What a majesty, what a power. And when this power is clothed in the humblest of appearances, it becomes something amazing. That, I suppose, is the difference between an Asuric power which needs to assert itself, which needs to crush people under its feet to feel it is powerful, and the divine power which is seated on the throne majestically, like Shiva lost in trance and Ravan is trying to take him by force from Kailash to Lanka. He wants to usurp that Shiva is mine, I'll take a heavy tax now for all who enter for Shiva Darshan. Everything I have, but I don't have Shiva, the ultimate power. So if I have Shiva also, then I am unbeatable. Shiva is lost. So he says, anyways, I am his bhakta, he will allow me to do anything. This is a big egoistic bhakti, can be so dangerous. I am his bhakta. So it's true that the bhakta has got that exceptional privilege. Shobindo says that nothing is denied to the bhakta of the Lord because he is the very self of the beloved. And yet, dharma is dharma. He tries to lift the mountain. And Parvati ji is telling Shiva, look here, things don't look nice. You are too much in trance today. But Shiva is in his trance. And then the mountain begins to tremble. And then Shiva comes out of his trance and she says, do you notice something is happening? Ah, yes. His little thumb he puts, toe. He presses upon the mountain and Ravan is crushed. And then he has that tremendously egoistic Shivastrot. I'm sorry, but it's Jatajan. It sounds like a person who is extremely, while he is talking of his Lord, but he is also showing his own, that power respect he can probably see. That's all that is required. The omnipotence of the Lord. We are often filled with, in our own life we face difficulties, life of the nation, those who love the nation, life of mankind. But we should never forget, and that's something which the mother says again and again, that truth has the last word. Satyameva jayate nanritam, satyena pantha vitato devyana. So why is such a long journey? Are we have to be ready for the advent of truth. This is the problem. That's why Krishna has to do all the drama of so many asuras, this, that. Because if suddenly you get the throne, then what happens? You are an undeserving fellow. You will become the same tyrant. Shobindu writes about that. that seating old tyrants on the back. The person who created the revolution, and everybody believed, here is the savior, here is the savior. When he gets the throne, commits worse crimes. So people have to deserve it. And therefore man is cast again and again into the furnace of hell. Not to roast us or punish us, but as he writes in one of his poems, more strength to gain, more sweetness to deserve. That's why we have to go through this passage. And he describes what men call sin are but his leavings as from deep within. So we see this kind of Kali Vrajanam, this catharsis of many things taking place today. And as he says, world needs the certitude of Sri Aurobindo. This certitude comes from something still deeper than the inner heart, and that is the psychic. It's the psychic memory. It's strange that one feels that one belongs to Sri Aurobindo. Now, what makes you feel that one belongs to Sri Aurobindo? Once Sri Aurobindo was asked, what punya of ours have brought us here? Because, well, honest assessment of anyone does about his own life. One knows where one stands, and it doesn't need to be elaborated. Though we keep seeing in everybody that dark spot, but each one carries his own dark spot. So the disciple asks, what has brought us here? We have not done any big sadhana, and why we have come here? Sri Aurobindo says at one point, bhakti in previous life, bearing its fruit now. Then the second he says is somebody who has practiced yoga. And in a natural evolutionary course, he has come here to take the next step. And third he says, physically connected with the mother and myself in previous lives. Even a physical connection is carried on. We cannot imagine. And therefore one has come. So something recognizes deep within and remembers. Many people have this experience. They come to ashram, go to the samadhi, and they say it's like homecoming. You've come home. Very strange. So there is such a deep something embedded in a very soul. And that's what is mentioned in the Isha Upanishad, Vayurinil Amritam Achedam Bhasmantam Sariram Om Kritosmar Kritam Smar Kritosmar Kritam Smar. O will that which was done remember, O will that which was done remember. Very cryptic phrase. That body and all this perishes, but something was done, that you remember. So that is the deepest memory. And then everything, even the senses can remember the contact. Other day, someone was asking, because it was circulating everywhere, that every brick of the ashram carries, as if the mother's vibrates with the mother's presence. He asked, what does it mean? I said, you have to have a psychic sense to feel it. It's not an intellectual meaning, but the fact is she has stepped there, she has moved there, she has looked upon these bricks, she has looked upon everywhere. And I am sure she has looked upon Auroville while, of course, there was a picture of hers in when the Auroville inauguration took place, subtle body. Sure, people have seen the picture. In any case, all these have been formed in a mind, divine mind, before taking shape here. So that presence one feels, it's imprinted in everything. And one can remember. That matter doesn't forget. See, that is the irony. Matter never forgets the contact. Even a sword used or any equipment which has been used, that's how the Dalai Lamas are chosen next by, you know, that there were movies made on this Cup of Christ. I mean, it carries the imprint forever. That's what the relics and, you know, maybe I should say that Auroville also should have Aurobindo's relics. Someone told that, religion. No, it's not religion. Religion is something we do outwardly, mechanically, without an inner sense. That's religion. One can meditate religiously. one can go to Matri Mandir religiously, sit there and come out, go to Samadhi religiously, come out unchanged. But one can pick up a stone and see in it the presence of the divine, and it becomes an act of spirit when one touches it to the forehead. That's it. Because you have this natural impulse to bow to anything which is divine. Yesterday I met someone who brought Savitri. He says, I don't know English at all. I know only Hindi. So please help me. I said, the book you are carrying, he has brought you to here. He will make sure you understand. So he told, keep it on my head. I said, you keep it. I said, he said, can it be transmitted? I said, he has brought you this far. Don't worry, rest, he will show the way. Then he kept on my head also. I said, wonderful. It may look odd and strange. It's not odd and strange to somebody with an awakened psychic. It's not odd and strange. It's something beautiful. So matter remembers the contact of the divine. And that's the significance of Sri Aurobindo's relics. Wherever his relics have gone. I mean, one instance which I can quote right away. They had gone to Ayodhya. The wall is right next to the present Ram temple. It led to a cataclysm of event. I know of several places. I've been involved. So it's not about one place. And you feel that that presence vibrates. That's why when Shubindo's body was being interned into the Samadhi and a message was said, the mortal remains of Shubindo will be interred in the Samadhi. And thankfully they sent the note to the mother, and mother struck it off with red pen and wrote, there is nothing mortal about Shubindo. Every cell of his body was carrying the immortal flame. So we'll say, we don't see it well. That's our blindness. That means I should develop the vision. We question the vision of someone who can see. We should say, I can't see it. So sorry. Mother, give me the eyes with which when you saw the Lord for the first time, you said, he whom we saw yesterday is here upon earth. His presence is enough. That's her vision. So we should try to exchange our vision with her vision. That's what remembrance does. When we remember, we come in contact with Sri Aurobindo's personality, his consciousness. And it's the easiest door to supermind. We like to go through very circular roads. Circular roads is, okay, mind, higher mind, illumined mind. Then you forget, is it intuitive mind or over mind? Then you make comparison notes. Well, Sri Aurobindo and the mother are embodiments of supermind. They are the door. But we love complications. Human mind is full of complexities. And if we just meditate upon their presence, concentrate upon them in sweet, loving remembrance, not to ask this or that, that of course is there, just to have his presence, that's all. Nothing is needed after that. It is he in the sun who is, okay, the previous lines also, that they come so much with Sri Aurobindo. I often remember Sri Aurobindo when I read those lines from whom. This applies to him so perfectly. The master of man and his infinite lover. If ever there is a lover of mankind, someone who could so easily sacrifice, renounce even his realizations for man to progress further. I mean, who could do that? Renouncing worldly life is nothing. It's a good ticket you are buying. Even if somebody gives everything for the sake of divine, it's a cheap. One got it cheap. All is too little that the world can give. This is an experience which is very real. Even if everything is taken away and yet the divine is assured, it's nothing. But to renounce the divine realization, which we see in Mother's prayers and Sri Aurobindo's life, for the sake of lifting up this which is here struggling, that is called renunciation. That's the renunciation of only the divine can do. He has come so close to lift us. And all that, and he has several places says, each avatar is the door. Now he is a gentleman. He is not going to use the word me and I, though he can use it in that high state, just like Sri Krishna says, Aham Tva Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Ma Shucha. But Sri Aurobindo is a gentlemanly avatar. So he will say yes, very indirectly he will say yes, yes, avatar. In his symbol it is there, people ask. He is an avatar. I said, look, his symbol. Mother has clearly explained all this. The lotus in the center is the avatar who is conducting the evolution next. So you want him to write and announce and sign that I am the avatar of the new age. No, that's not how Sri Aurobindo would be. Because it has to be felt by the psychic vision. There is no other way. That's why he says the asura knows him not. The asura cannot see. He sees only the human body. But the godlike, those with an awakened psychic, see the divine manifest in a human form. That's what Sri Aurobindo is. He is the door and the gate. That's why the mother says, constant remembrance is the path towards transformation. Difficult to remember because we are attached to so many things. If only we could get a little detached, not too much, or in all that we are attached to, flood it with his presence. Either ways, then slowly with this remembrance, the transformation will go on. Not just because the name is a mantra, of course it is. It's much more powerful than any mantra, Naam Jap. For the simple reason that mantra is supposed to take you to the deity. Naam Jap is the word body of the deity. So it's you're cutting short a whole path and passage. So often people don't understand. Sometimes they say, once in one of my talks in Nainital, Doctor Saab, baki sab acha hai, all else is fine. But aap thoda shuru karne ke pehle Hari Om ek mantra ucharan kar dijiye. I said, I have the shortcut key. You want me to take the long cut? I said, what do you mean? I said, it's enough if I say Ma inwardly. All these mantras will take me through a long path. So I don't want to take that. I'm a lazy person. I want the shortcut. Mother Sri Aurobindo is enough. Ma, ma, ma. They are one and the same. To remember the mother is to remember Sri Aurobindo. To remember Sri Aurobindo is to remember the mother. And in their constant remembrance lies the way. However hard and difficult it may seem, their remembrance makes us close to them. They are always close, but we don't see it. And therefore, even these stones on the way, it appears like this is nothing but flowers. None of it, I can tell you, is a poetic imagery. The people who have experienced falling on stone and experiencing it like a flower, held by Mother and Sri Aurobindo. So the journey becomes so sweet, wonderful at the end, just as Arjuna asks Krishna. He says, you are telling me all these things at the end because he has said, first in the self, then in me. He said, you are telling me constantly, you are making a reference to yourself that if you think of me, remember me, life will become fine, yoga will become easy. What about those who do a lot of tapasya? He says, well, they too reach me, but through a very long and difficult path. And when you remember me and walk with me, then just imagine, journey may be difficult still, but presence of the divine as companion makes it so easy. Because we need a companion in life after all. Ekakina ramate. So, if the divine becomes the companion, how wonderful it is that wherever we are going. So remembrance is one of the very powerful ways to make the divine as our companion. And most importantly, the final act of remembrance is to lead our life according to that ideal. That's why when the mother started the school, she said that this is why Sri Aurobindo Memorial, it is in memory of Sri Aurobindo. So what can I do in Sri Aurobindo's memory? Because I need to do some work also, not just inwardly remember. Even to be happy is their work. But to do any work with this idea that it is not so-and-so's work, not X, nor Z, nor Y, but Shurabindo's work. Just this feeling, thought fills us with such a joy, wherever one may be. And it prevents many things which otherwise tend to come up. This is Shurabindo's work. This mother's garden. I'm engaged in mother's work. Just this thought. I'm seeing a patient. Mother has put me here. It's mother's work. So when we live according to that ideal, try to live even a little. Of course, very difficult, tall order to live according to the ideal. That's why the Gita has said, Swalpamasya dharmasya. Even a little, a drop of practice, that we try to live that ideal. It's a huge calling. But even if one step we take forward, we will see that 1,000 steps he takes and carries us forward. It's true of all mystic experience, but more so, as Nirodhas asked that, should I just tell you once, pray, and then we can forget about it or remind you time to time? He says, tell me, but also remind me from time to time. It was his way of saying, keep the contact alive, man. Not just you tell me and after that, okay, I have offered my work and at the end, thank you. What a joy of remembering, reminding Sri Aurobindo time to time. And the result of all this is what can far exceed anything we can imagine, and that is delight. Discipleship to God, the teacher. Sonship to God the Father, the loving and indulgent love of the Divine as Mother, the clasp of the hand of the playmate and friend, the love of the paramour, and all these he describes, the sevenfold relation we can form with the Divine. We can relate with him, not just as Sri Aurobindo sitting in the room, but as a friend, a companion. As a playmate, paramour, just imagine. One may be apparently loving mother, father, child, wife, husband, whoever, but inwardly, Lord, remember, I am yours. You are mine, that's later, but I am yours in the secret heart. She says, one who can do it has the highest, experiences the highest of ecstasies. Not granted even to the greatest of Vedantins. So let's dwell upon this. And Rabi had told me if there are any questions. I don't know. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them.
So anybody has any questions, so I can pass the mic?
Yes. So we will... Just stay quiet in memory of Sri Aurobindo. No questions, no? Answer is here anyways. Okay? All the answers are here. So, Mother has said this about Samadhi. She says, you go there and pray there. She says, people used to say earlier that they write to Sri Aurobindo and he takes time to reply. He says, though this is not true. But you'll see people complaining. So much so that Sri Aurobindo has to say, if you saw the amount I am working from day to night, even the iron heart of a disciple would melt. At one place he passingly mentions, you will understand that it is the avatar who is working. She says, but now, simultaneously he is answering in every heart, because Sri Aurobindo is, as I was reading yesterday in the essays on the Gita class in Savitri Bhavan, that when the avatar withdraws, he leaves his stamp on matter. So matter keeps vibrating with that presence. Now it will never forget. Ultimately, he has already ensured the next evolution next by simply assuming a human body. Because matter has now that contact. It will seek. It will reach. And the second... And his soul continues to remain in earth, presiding over the next manifestation. So Sri Aurobindo is very much here in our hearts, in fact everywhere. one can reach that state where one can say, in fact, there is nothing else but Sri Aurobindo. Yes, please. No, Sri Aurobindo, you know, I think one is that he didn't want it. One is that. Maybe the equipments, I don't know, but I think the recorders were available. But one instance I know where someone wanted to record his voice and Sri Aurobindo declined. And this person who was a reporter who had come as a devotee had switched on the tape recorder concealed in a bag. So he switched it on, but nothing got recorded. With the mother, I know about the photographs, a very interesting incidents. And that Taradi herself has recounted this to me, because this happened with her. And she used to take many photographs of the mother, as we all know. So she was clicking the photographs, and it was the old Kodak camera which had 12 reels. And when 11 times she had clicked, suddenly mother said, no more, whatever be her reasons. But almost instinctively, she clicked the 12th one. Mother didn't say anything. Nothing came. So, we can take it that whether there was a recorder or not, Sri Aurobindo didn't want his voice to be recorded. And therefore, it was not recorded. And one can understand the occult reason behind it. That's why Sri Aurobindo never gave a date. Though he knew, he has written all that. But that will be going into too much of the history. But he never gave a date when this will happen, when that will happen. Mother once cryptically announced in 54 and 55 New Year message. And then she says the next 14 months are going to be very difficult. Exactly after 14 months to the date, supramental manifestation took place. But they never. And people ask, why don't you say? He says, the moment I'll say, all the forces in the world will start attacking it, because now it has gone out into the world. That's why they would not pronounce, that's why they would not, you know, speak about it. That's why he said the greatest victories are the least noisy. It's only after 56 that very openly the mother started speaking. Maybe after that, Sri Aurobindo's voice, but yes, not recorded. Some people have heard it. They describe it as soft, with a touch of that Cambridge accent, which was there in his voice, but very soft voice, extremely gentle. Amal Kiran has, and Nirodha, the people who used to wait to hear something they would catch from his voice. Yes, it's a pity. Yes, that of course is true. It's true, of course, for all of us. Inwardly you can hear, but that's a very different thing from, you know. Yeah. But then mother's voice is there. That's there. I always take it that the two are one. So mother gave freely. Her voice is there, and it's amazing. Just to be in contact. Yes. Okay, so we can probably spend a few moments in quiet, in a remembrance of Sri Aurobindo, and then we can leave.
Yeah.